Sometimes you just got to go with the moment and allow His Spirit to minister among us. But we're thinking about covenants, and Abram is a key guy in the subject of covenants. And it all started with the command to go. I wonder if you would go. If your wife said, look, God is calling us to go, we should go. I wonder if your wife said that, you would go. I wonder if your pastor said, go, you would go. I wonder if God told you to go, whether you would go. See, this chap, Abraham, now Abraham, that's very confusing. He changes his name. Why do people do that in the Bible? Abraham, Abraham, same thing. I use the name interchangeably. But in chapter 12, he's told to go, to dislocate from his father and most of his family. Now, Abraham's family line traces from Noah. And like Noah, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, he will have God's covenant and promises spoken over him. Now, here's the test. For those of you who were here 2 weeks ago, what simple definition of God making a covenant with us did I give? Who can remember? William got it brilliantly last week. He came up to me, but he's not here this week, so... How did we define covenant? Gonna have to send you all on the train calls. God's movement to us. Yeah, God's movement to us that provides for us. And what is that? Yeah. Deserves or even requires a response. God making a covenant to us is like God moving to us, He's going to provide for us. That deserves or requires a response. And then there's another simple principle 2 weeks ago through the one, God blesses the many. Yes, through the one. So through this one Noah chap, God is going to bless the many. And we see this again in Abraham. Through the one, God is going to bless the many, in fact, the worlds. There's a slight nuance there, because Noah and his family were the only people left after the flood. But now we get to Abraham. There's lots of people. There's a whole table of nations. But God chooses the one, Abraham, to bless the many. And then Abraham has a son. In fact, he has two sons. But God chooses only one of those through which the blessing will come. That's Isaac. And then Isaac has twins. And God chooses one of those twins, Jacob, not Esau, the twin brother. So God choosing one again, eventually that spans out into 12 tribes of Israel, to bless the many. So the one blessing the many, but sometimes God chooses one out of many to bless the many. And He does that because God has specific purposes. So He chooses the one out of many for His specific purposes. We see that in the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, the older part of the Bible. One nation out of many nations to be the blessing for God's specific purposes for the whole world. They had a purpose. He didn't choose them because He liked their faces. He chose them because He had purposes for them to bless the nations. But then we get to chapter 15, and Abraham has this vision. God reaffirms to him that He is in control. So please, Ollie. He says, look out in the night sky, go out at night, look up and see all the stars there. Remember, they didn't have light pollution in them days, so they could see all the stars. And He said to Abraham, if you can count those stars, that's the kind of number I'm talking about that your descendants will be, the numerous blessing that is going to come from you. Count those stars, that gives you an order of magnitude. I wonder if God has ever seeded something in you. I wonder if God maybe has just whispered a thought into your life. Maybe he's spoken to you about some purpose he has for you or through you. Maybe he's shown it in glorious technicolor, but maybe it's just been a quiet thing. But it's too big for you to believe. It's too wonderful, too amazing for you to get your head round. And it's full of implications and you're really struggling. You've heard that whisper, there's that seed in you, but it's too much. Well, learn from Abraham's response. Verse 6, two things. Abraham believed what God was telling him, and that in itself was seen by God as righteousness. Just having that simple framework of belief that God can do this. If God is saying this, he can do it. That is righteousness. A simple, basic belief. But that's the first thing. So have that simple belief. But the second thing is see that God, that Abraham did question. And he said to God, look, I can't see how this is going to happen because I haven't had a single child yet. And quite frankly, I'm getting on a bit and look at my wife and so on. He pondered this stuff. How is it going to work? So he had belief, and yet he did ponder and question. So, simple principle, if you remember nothing but one thing from this morning, remember this one simple principle. It's okay to ponder the things that you think God has spoken to you, but don't dismiss it with unbelief. Have a basic belief that God can do it. But you may question and think, I can't see humanly how this is going to work. But God can do it. Ponder, but don't dismiss. Now, Abraham, before you think that he's a spiritual superstar, he did have some shadowy sides, and there's a sheet I can give you later which will show that. And him and his wife came up, where his wife came up with a plan for the fact that they had no children, said, look, if God's going to give you descendants, then, well, I'll leave you to work it out. It involves Abraham and a servant girl. Next chapter 16, you can read it, put two and two together. A human solution to what God wanted to do. Let's put it out there. We don't need human solutions to what God wants to do. If God wants to do it, he can do it without the whole thing and servant girl thing going on. Let God do it supernaturally through us, rather than thinking, I can achieve that by X, Y, or Z. Now, it may take years. There may be twists and turns and loads of confusion along the way and questioning, but it comes down to the basic, can you journey with God? Can you journey with God? Now, in this particular vision, God told him, okay, Abraham, let's sit down, have a covenant meal. That's not such a weird concept for us. Those of you who are in business and you go and see a customer or a client, you will often have a business meal to seal the deal. Forming a covenant or a business deal, and you have a meal with the customer or the supplier to seal that deal. In a wedding ceremony, what do? You come together, have the ceremony, registry office or in the church or whatever, and then you go to a reception where you sit down and have a meal, a covenant meal. So this whole business, but of course this meal was a covenant meal between Abraham and God. So it was a little bit wacky and involved blazing torches and strange animals cut up and all that kind of stuff. But that's all it was a meal to seal the deal. That sounds good, doesn't it? A meal to seal the deal. I'll test you on that another week. Right. But get this. In that further revelation that God gives, God says, this is how it's going to be, Abraham. There's going to be a 400-year period before my purposes that I'm starting from you really kick off big time. 400 years. That's a heck of a wait. That's not just waiting a few years to have a baby. That goes way beyond that. Could you wait 400 years? I mean, sometimes I wonder, are we going to have to wait 400 years before a female will stand to be a deacon? Or will we have to wait 400 years before blokes will actually step up and really lead spiritually as they are able to? It's a long, long wait that Abraham is called to go through. And to do that, him and his descendants are going to have to have a sustained, simple belief that God is in control. A sustained, simple belief that God will do what he has said in his covenant promises. Remember at this church, we talk of rhythm and diet. Rhythm and diet. Because our walk with Jesus is not just supposed to be in a snap, a one-hit wonder, but is actually to sustain ministry and be part of God's purposes for the long haul. So to sustain, you need a good beat. Now, I'm not a drummer, so if this all falls apart, I won't even try. And for the various works of God through you, you need to add other layers of beats and rhythms on top of that basic underlying beat. To grow, you need to ensure that your diet is right. And that has various nutrients, various learnings, stretching, as Kathy has done in this past week. Different things we need. Coming together, but also going out there. Remember that we typically learn by doing, and so we grow actually by going out and serving just as much as being on the training course. Learn to set your rhythm and diet for the tasks God is calling you to do. But remember that Abraham was called to get up and go on a journey, and his descendants would have to get up and go on a journey as well. Do you think that while they were traveling on those long treks and journeys, they were able to have the same rhythm and diet as when they were stationary? Well, I would suggest no. I mean, for a start, different foods would be available, yeah, on the journey, trekking across the desert. And when you've got a travelling regime, each morning you have to pack up your tent, load it onto a cart, haul it to the next campsite, unpack. That's a different rhythm to when you're stationary. Learn to adapt and change your rhythms to the changing seasons of your life and the changing calls of God on you as you go through life. As a church, we've adapted. Remember, we used to do Messy Church, and then we changed that, and now do Imagine. To do that, we had to change our rhythm and diet. And to scale Imagine, we wouldn't necessarily be able to just do more events in here. To scale, we would probably want to do something, might not be the same as Imagine, it might be different, but something in community locations in different places. Things that made sense in that community or for that group. That would require us to change our rhythm and diets again, as God led us in those directions. The church that Kathy visited in the week, Church from Scratch, has a rhythm and diet which we would find hard to recognise. But that is the rhythm and diet that they need for the ministry that they are doing amongst the marginalised around Southends. Set your rhythm and diet for the task that God is calling you to do. And be alert, because you may need to adjust and reset your rhythm and diet as ministry goes on. But now back to that whisper. Now back to that thing that God has seeded in you, maybe years and years in the past. Ponder and pray. Find the rhythm and diet for this stage of a journey with a simple trust. Because the bottom line is, on what journey is God calling you to go?